Welcome again to the Townsville Feminist Stories podcast. My name is Chantal Oxenham, and I am a member of the Townsville Feminist Collective. In this podcast, I am talking with local feminist Meg Davis. Over a long career in the human services, Meg has maintained a strong commitment to social justice generally and women's equality in particular. She has worked extensively in the area of mental health and homelessness and for many years with resettlement programs for refugees as manager of the Townsville Multicultural Support Group, TMSG. Today, Meg will reflect on the experience of working with refugee women in Townsville. She has also recently completed PhD studies on this topic and we'll discuss how her work at TMSG contributed to her academic study and how, in turn, her study sheds further light on ways to support women in such situations. So, Meg, can you start by telling us about the work you did at TMSG?
Certainly. So my initial brief in 1998 was to support the women who were at the core of the organisation in a community needs assessment with ethnic groups. Now, those women included women from India, Iran, El Salvador, the Philippines, Chile, Fiji, Papua New Guinea. And the purpose was to advance TMSG's advocacy for improving inclusion of their needs across services in North Queensland. Before my appointment at a 1996 Congress of Ethnic Communities of North Queensland, a former worker, Maria Serka, had accused North Queensland services of neglecting ethnic women's needs, that women were not represented on boards and that services were tokenistic and culturally blind. So this was quite a challenge and it was quite a wake-up call to my social work practice. I had grassroots experience of community work across Townsville, but very little experience with former migrant or refugee women.
So how did your involvement in feminist activities in Townsville influence the way you worked?
Well, I was very aware through the times of working, even prior to working at TMSG, that there was a developing strong feminist movement in Townsville, and I was interested but not able to participate directly. However, I found, by keeping my ear to the ground and through the work, just how important it was to have women have their voice, so that I gradually became more connected with the feminist collective and with the Coalition for a Feminist Agenda activities that that coalition organised were fantastic. So they really influenced my development too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Meg, what made you want to go back to study and undertake a PhD after retiring?
Well, basically, I felt I had unfinished business. So that the 22 years at TMSG was an enormous journey of learning, self-reflection and extending my social work insights and skills. Because when I first went there, I felt I had no compass. And I found my compass, though, working with those women because they were so passionate and committed. And their insights and skills contributed and the way of working contributed to the philosophy of TMSG. So I just wanted to draw on that experience and training to consider the whole context of everyone's lives. And there was little research out of North Queensland with refugees generally, but particularly anything that focused on women. The research that did exist across Australia and in Queensland was based in the southeast corner, and if women were centred, literature focused on the barriers they faced. It always started with what the barriers that women faced. There was never a mention of their strengths and the contributions that I had witnessed and had privilege to be part of. So that's where my interest in research started, really.
So what was the focus of your study and what were the key findings?
Well, throughout my time at TMSG and through attending a feminist right winter institute for women in Townsville, I was confronted with my ignorance of global events, but I learned and was involved in dialogues with refugee women internationally and then locally. So taking up a PhD was essentially driven by wanting to fill a gap in knowledge of regional settlement that honoured and centred the voices of women and that honoured North Queensland's contribution, because we just were absent in the literature. Yeah.
So is there such a thing as feminist research, and how is it done?
Yes, definitely there is a feminist research. The work of many women past and present and locally at the JCU was a strong centre for women's studies, encouraging women to feminist research. And really my study stands on the shoulders of many women pioneers in feminist research, internationally, nationally and locally. So what it's based on the premise that the primary influence on all women's lives is patriarchy, whereby women are assigned a lesser status. And then there are the added issues of race and class, which are central to affecting women's status. So radical feminists, which was the basis of my research, is intent on getting to the roots of women's concerns. I prioritise race and feminism, and I was particularly interested in exploring African feminist movements, which continue to inspire, was inspired by writing and speeches of many brave African writers and theorists who are intent on having their voices being heard distinctly. I also explored the research of local, national and international Indigenous scholars.
So were there any surprises, or did your years of work in this field prepare you for the outcomes of your research?
Yes and yes. Yes, there were surprises, and yes, my experience in the field was immensely important. I believe the research is grounded from my experience in social work generally, and in particular my experience as manager of TMSG for 22 years. That experience added authenticity to the study's design, and the feminist research approach was particularly valuable in analysis of my findings and my recommendations for policy. But firstly, regarding any surprises, I was surprised by the depth of feeling expressed by women, especially those women who'd been resettled for 5 years or more, on their reflection that they were continually being referred to and identified as a refugee. As one woman clearly said, "It was not about being ashamed of my previous status as a refugee. I'm proud to have been a refugee and survive, but I am now an Australian citizen. I am no longer a refugee, so why should I keep feeling that I am when I have rights like everybody else?" So another surprise was the frustrations of the resettlement practitioners, feeling that they walk a tightrope due to the dominance of service delivery demands for accountability, which is quite transactional, and also their frustrations with encountering resistance from generic human services to accept clients and to continue to support them. Often the clients would be bouncing back. So that was a constant message from the practitioners. And some of those discussed those experiences as being grounded in racism, and that is backed up in the literature of African migrants, professionals and researchers who discuss racist microaggressions.
After having done such a significant piece of work, can you look back and see anything you or your organisation might have done differently if you had had the benefit of having such research available to you?
Great question. And, of course, yes, I'd like to go back and have a whole section of staff focusing on policy and advocacy, research and training for individual and the broader systemic advocacy to affect power and policy changes to centre women's needs in resettlement. I'd also like to go back and focus on developing a training program that promotes a workforce of trained and accredited female interpreters so that resettlement support and research does not have to depend on predominantly male, local or remote bicultural support workers or accredited interpreters in African languages, because that was one of a real challenge for me during the research. And the other thing I think about is I'd like to go back and be more directly involved organisationally with other services in promoting access to human rights. That was certainly a part of my work, but I'd like that to be the dominant focus now of services in many ways. If I could go back, I'd arrange a series of workshops and focusing on raising awareness of former refugee women's lives and their strengths and the effects of global events, particularly now. I'm just back from a conference in Sydney and listening to women from Ukraine, but also workers from UN and services now. These times, current times, are increasingly difficult. I heard directly from people involved in the UN who commented that support for former refugee people or people who are displaced has dropped enormously, and that's a real concern, and it will affect here and services here for sure.
Thank you, Meg, for your contribution. It's of course very interesting for us to be able to look at how a feminist approach or a feminist reflection can support work that we do and help women in any environment that they're in and help them through crisis and focusing on their lives. So thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.